North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack.
And we are joined this morning by Evie Seberg. She is a reporter at the Bonner County Daily Bee, focusing, I think, mostly on city issues and whatever else the
school district, too, I believe.
Yeah. And whatever else is important and needs coverage. And good morning, Evie.
Good morning.
I hesitate to call it a slow news week, but just because that always I always seem to be wrong when I make that claim. But I think I would call this kind of a slow one, or at least it's a holiday news week. Everybody's busy.
It's a less fast one.
Yeah.
there are things that we want to talk about.
Absolutely.
That have gone on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The headline in today's Daily Bee, the Board of County Commissioners has changed the order of their agenda going forward. They will be moving public comment and the commissioners' reports to the end of the meeting, as opposed to opening the meeting with that. And the reason given by Luke Ahmet, the chairman of the board, is that the public comment and the commissioners' reports takes up so much time, and oftentimes the employees of the county just have to give a few minutes of an update and then could potentially go about their day rather than waiting until the end of the meeting when they would do that. The rain that we got last week caused some havoc in the county. We had the middle school flooded and Lightning Creek flooded and washed out Lightning Creek Road, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, which is still closed. And I didn't read that story as far as when they think it will open. Is that like not until spring? Probably.
I don't know that they know when they're going to reopen it. So you'd have to assume it'll be when they pass the season.
The new board board chair at NIC, that is North Idaho College down in Coeur d'Alene, they granted the new board chair, Mike Wagoner, who I think we mentioned in last week's show, maybe it was the week before that, the new board chair has blanket authority granted by the board to make decisions about litigation on behalf of the college, and that is a decision they made 2 days before a hearing when a judge will consider whether to compel the college to turn over an investigative report to NIC President Nick Swain. Some sad news, the victim of this trailer fire that happened on the 17th passed away, and that's Evie's note in this morning's paper. What else is in the news these days? Chris, what are the headlines that caught your eye?
Well, to continue on the county, the commissioners have voted to include the fairgrounds in their fiscal year 23 financial audit. Mm-hmm. They haven't been auditing it in the past. There's been, of course, allegations of malfeasance with monies at the fairgrounds. And this is an interesting situation where Sheriff Wheeler, a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, he announced that he was forming something called the Individual County Constitutional Officers Group that would audit the fairgrounds. And it's unclear where he thinks that has authority to do any audits. And in fact, this week, Commissioner Luke Ahmet, he pushed back against the idea that this individual county constitutional officers organization has any statutory authority to operate as an auditing body. He cited the Idaho Code that the auditing of county finances is to be conducted under the direction of the Board of County Commissioners. So we'll see if Sheriff Wheeler responds in some way to that. But it's an interesting, and once again, you know, there's conflict in the county over things. Although the reader reported that the meeting this week was relatively harmonious, but mm-hmm. also that Commissioner Asia Williams did not attend. So that's the conflict has been between Asia and the other two commissioners quite frequently.
Yeah.
So anyways, the county is going to be performing this audit. There was some discussion that the audit should go back further than just the last year. Commissioner Ahmet said no to that. He thinks it should just go back a year because there's been so much conflict, and the cost of going back several years, as he estimated, might be between $200,000 and $250,000. So taking all that into account, the county's just going to proceed with including the fairgrounds in the audit that's also done on the county. So there you go. A little bit more county news. Another big story, I think, is that Bonner General Health is getting a new CEO as mm-hmm. of today, I believe. His name is John Hennessy. He's been the CFO at the Bonner General Health for the past 7 years, working with Cheryl Rickert, who is retiring now after 37 years with Bonner General Health. He's been, as the CFO, you know, he's vacating that position, obviously, to become the CEO. The new CFO is Skylar Twitt, he's new to the Bonner General Health, but he's apparently a lifelong North Idahoan, and he's got a degree in business with an emphasis in accounting and finance from the University of Idaho. So he's joined the hospital about a month ago, and he's been working alongside John Hennessy. Mm-hmm. And in the future, I hope to get the new CFO and CEO in for an interview here and learn more about him. Mm. In another edition of the morning show.
The Open Primaries Initiative has reached its 50,000 signatures, half. It has crossed the halfway mark of what it needs to appear on the ballot in November 2024. The deadline is in April.
It's in April, yes.
Yeah, okay.
To get the full 100,000.
Right, so they've gotten halfway there in these last months. There was an interesting story that was in both the Reader and the Bee. I think it came from Investigate West originally. The Idaho Freedom Foundation quietly hired alt-right propagandists to help shape messaging. The conservative Idaho group, the Idaho Freedom Foundation, had hired Dave Riley, who was sort of a controversial figure, but they had kept that quiet until just recently, when Investigate West broke that story on December 11th. Let's see.
Well, let's ask Evie a little bit more about the flooding that occurred at the middle school. What was the cause of that?
So the 3-inch water main, I think is what it was, broke and was flooding. I guess there was a few feet of water in the tunnels underneath in the basement area of the middle school. I haven't seen it, so I'm not exactly sure the structure there, but I guess they were pumping out. They had a pump pumping, I think they said 1,000 gallons per minute, and it still wasn't even making a dent.
Oh, no kidding.
And so they closed Monday for that, and then by Tuesday they realized they still wanted to check the water quality and make sure there weren't any electrical issues that were caused by the flooding. That was caused by the flooding. And then I guess when they opened Wednesday, there were still issues that came about. Like, I think there was something with electricity in the gym or something like that, where they were having trouble getting certain utilities working properly. So they've been working out the kinks there a little bit over the last few days. I haven't gotten an update since Wednesday, but
are the kids back in school in the middle school?
Yeah. As far as I know, yes, they came back Wednesday and then kind of had to adjust. I think they were adjusting like PE type classes because of the gym, and lunch was a little different because of different locations being affected in the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they got a couple extra days of holiday there then.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, I guess they were still, there's like a learning platform they use online. It's Schoology, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. So they were still
That's
supposed
right.
to be.
There's no escaping for these kids.
Yeah. I don't know how many still did it, but they were at least supposed to be working on homework from home.
Yeah.
Teachers were monitoring mm-hmm. there.
And there was, I think, a first ever winter market in Dover.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a little firsthand knowledge on that.
Yes. I was a vendor there and then also wrote about it while I was there. It was a really fun time. I'd never seen the Nutlicious building, and that's...
Yeah, it was in the Nutlicious building, which
yes.
is the former
Thorn building.
Vitamin building there, yeah. Huh?
Yeah. So I guess they use the back half of the building for the hazelnut processing or for Nutlicious. And then the front half is more like office space, cafeteria space, and just a space that you can use for businesses,
yeah.
essentially. And so they hosted this market because I think the owner, John York, was saying they were a part of the Harvest Festival in Dover and saw a lot of success there and thought it'd be great to offer a second event for the community. And this also gave people an opportunity to engage with the space that they're looking to lease out in the future, restaurant space where the old Thorn cafeteria used to be.
So there would be a restaurant in Dover?
There could be.
Yeah.
I think that was
vendor.
What he was
yeah.
saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they find the right person who wants to lease out the space, there's like patio seating opportunities. And yeah, and it was just a really unique building architecturally, mm-hmm. and the aesthetic is pretty.
Yeah, which you don't actually see from the road when
mm-hmm.
you're driving by. It looks, as you yeah. mentioned earlier, kind of like a prison on the outside, but go inside
yep.
and it's pretty neat, huh?
Yep. Yeah. And the other side, you kind of drive around and get to it's like the front is actually facing away from the road.
Hmm.
At least the front that I walked into.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to tell us what exactly you were selling.
So
as one of the vendors there. Yeah.
Yes. I make wood-burned art, so I'll make handcrafted Lazy Susans and then wood burn different designs that I come up with myself. Usually they're inspired by different photos. And then I do other things like some knitting and crocheting and putting
oh, really?
Little things together, like gift tags, whatever I can come up with. That kind of a lot of my stuff, because it takes me a long time, is more higher priced. So I have to kind of, I like to come up with
yeah.
some less expensive items for people.
So you can
enjoy.
Make that solid $3 an hour.
Exactly.
For
yeah.
For your time. When you're doing the wood burning, how long have you been doing that?
I got my first wood burner when I was like, I think 11 or 12, and it was a little $13 one with a couple different tips that I got at a craft store. And then kind of messed around with that for a long time. And then a friend gave me his old wood burner that's a lot nicer. And I just messed with it for a long time, started realizing I could actually do shading and create a more realistic image as opposed to just like cursive writing or calligraphy or things like that. So now I actually try and kind of make things that are individual to my artistic style. And yeah, so I guess around 13 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Any serious injuries from the wood burner?
Not really. I burned myself once, but it's so hot.
Just once.
That it just kind wow. of cauterizes immediately and
yeah.
burns the nerves and you don't I was like, this should hurt, but it did not.
I'm
so,
not kidding. Interesting.
Yeah, it hurt a little bit a few days after when the nerves started repairing themselves, but for the first few seconds I was like, why do I smell burning
<What's>
flesh
<cooking? laughs>
it's my finger.
I never even played with wood burners that much, but we had one that we would use to write our names on things or something like that, and label it. And I got a little excited about being able to use that, being old enough to use that, and I think I burned myself several times over the course of a summer.
And unlike Evie, you felt pain.
I did indeed. I remember that pain on my fingertips.
Yeah, well, I think the older ones are not hot enough that it doesn't quite get rid of the pain.
It was certainly nothing state of the art. I think it was a relic. Hey, you are on the city beat. Have you been attending or paying attention to what's going on at City Hall, I don't know, in the last couple weeks, months? Anything?
So they had a council meeting a week. What day is today? Friday? A week prior to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one next week, so the Wednesday before Christmas. At the last one, they talked about the 2024 timber sale agreement, or I guess it's 2023, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. I'm trying to remember what else was at that one.
We're now post-election, of course. Chris, just on the Wednesday morning show, would get end of term.
An exit interview, if you will, with Mayor Shelby Ronstadt.
Okay.
Yeah, he's served two terms. He brought up an interesting fact that I would like to double check sometime, is that he's only the second mayor that's actually served two terms.
Interesting.
Which in 100 years of history, you think more than two mayors would have got reelected. But I know that's true in Spokane as well. Spokane's only had a couple of mayors that have made
the terms always been the same length?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
You know, 4 years. It's tough for mayors to get reelected, but apparently.
Served complete terms, like I think. Oh, wasn't Carrie Logan elected to one, but she had been appointed to one?
Yeah, she was appointed when Mayor Marsha Ogilvie unfortunately died.
And I think a lot of times people are, find themselves mayor, entering at it, and, the previous mayor exits before their term is up and somebody steps in and then, or they leave early for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not... certainly the salary doesn't make it really a career to be the mayor of Sandpoint. So
no, although he pointed out that the mayor's position this year paid, or has in the past 4 years of his term, paid $18,000 a year, but it's going up to $25,000. So as a percentage, it's a big increase. As a way you might actually make a living from it, you can't. So we do have a situation where the mayor is kind of by necessity going to be either a retired person or somebody with another source of income, another job. So that makes the mayor a part-time mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's under discussion. The incoming mayor, Jeremy Grimm, he's also made a couple comments that the mayor position should be paid a living wage and then the mayor could be a full-time mayor.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see where he takes that. Other things going on around town, the festival announced that they broke records in the past festival season they had this year in July and August, that their receipts, money they raised, as well as the people that attended, both were records, and they exceeded what happened the previous year, which had also been a record. Part of that is that there's simply more seating allowed now at the field because we have the new grandstands that seat a lot more people. But they've also had some really good concert programs too. So banner years for the festival, and they'll hopefully keep rocking it.
City Hall, of course, especially during the election season this year, during the months of kind of October and November, was very active, very very busy place. Has it? Mm-hmm. Have the last few meetings been a change of tone? Have you noticed there?
Well, it's been kind of interesting because I guess the mayor has been remote, so Kate has been kind of running the meetings. And then there've been
McAllister,
she's the council president.
Yeah. Yes, and there have been a few. I think two meetings ago, there was some interesting public comment that they ended up having to, they had a malfunction with the Zoom.
Someone
was commenting on it. That was a little bizarre and caused some discomfort.
There were some folks that were making openly racist comments.
Basically, they were commenting on Israeli-Palestinian conflict and just very vulgar. Mm-hmm. So, and they couldn't get it to shut off. So that was a little weird. But other than that, the last two meetings, I think, have been fairly smooth. Not a ton of public comment. I think pretty simple, straightforward stuff. Having trouble remembering everything that's gone on. But approving some trucks for the wastewater treatment plant was one thing.
Trucks for the wastewater treatment plant. Okay.
Yes, that was one thing. They,
I know they did, or they did the land swap with the county out at the airport.
Yes, which we mentioned last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, there wasn't, I don't think there was a lot of conversation about it. They were just working on discussion.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for the land swap?
The airport, I believe. Yeah. If I remember correctly, I think the airport is it's gonna expanding allow them, slightly.
Yeah, they can get more runway space or something along those lines.
I think the map I saw said they were going to add basically expand the parking into where they just swapped the land, and then where they currently have parking, they're going to expand the hangar. And so I guess that means, one assumes that means we need room for more planes here in Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. So I guess air traffic must be on the uptick. Let's see. Speaking of
Kate McAllister, council president, yesterday the Chamber of Commerce had their monthly membership meeting. It was the last one that she's going to be at as chamber president and CEO, which she's served as for 13 years now, because she is moving on. She'll be working at Bonner General Health as a, I think, a coordinator of, I'm not exactly sure what her position will be there, but so the Chamber of Commerce is going to have a change in leadership as well.
Yeah. Are they searching for the next person, or do they?
As I understand, they have a couple candidates they've been interviewing already. I don't know if you have.
I don't know more than that. I just knew they were looking. I saw some job listings for that recently.
Yeah, and I understand they have some qualified candidates. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything more than that. And also at the chamber membership meeting yesterday, there was a presentation by the Panada, which I actually assisted in. But there was a bit of breaking news there that you don't even have yet for the Daily Bee. that the Panada, as part of the Century Fund campaign, has been awarded a $100,000 grant from the Idaho Heritage Trust.
Oh, wow.
To help with the restoration of the Panda Theater.
Neat.
Of course, the Century Fund campaign is it's a 5-year campaign to raise, it's going to be more than a couple million dollars to do some really extensive restoration work on the theater. Right now, the Panada is in the midst of working with Bowdoin Architecture to come up with an architectural master plan. And as part of that, they've commissioned assessments of the structural integrity of the building, what they call the building envelope, the exterior portions, the electrical and the plumbing. It's a 100-year-old building, as you can expect. It does going to need some pretty extensive work. But this nice grant from Idaho Heritage Trust is going to go towards that, and the Panada continues apace with their Century Fund fundraising to meet the needs of this restoration work.
Yeah.
The centenary, the 100th anniversary of the Panada, is coming up in 2027. So the goal is to accomplish the fundraising and the work to have a completely restored building that's also modernized without impacting its historical integrity, since our needs for performers has changed so much over the years, in the last 100 years. When they opened it, of course, you know, they were still had vaudeville acts that were touring, right? And the stage accommodated those, but it's relatively small for modern performances, so it has to be really well organized with the lighting and the sound that they can provide there. So anyways, some news from the Panda.
Yeah. What is the goal again for the Century Fund?
Well, the goal at this point is 1.9 million, but these structural assessments may end up changing that. Again, the Panda's working with the Bowdoin Architecture to come up with the full plan on that.
I have seen the backstage of the Panda, and it's cool to see how some of the old stuff, but it's also does make me feel a little bit like, boy, people perform under these conditions. All these plugs just kind of, I don't know. It does seem like it could tolerate a little modernizing.
Hey, did you by chance grab a sound clip of the Carafoys?
Give me a minute. Yeah, okay. We can pull that up.
It could be our Sandpoint sound because Carafoy last weekend had a terrific Christmas show there. It really was great. We had a number of local musicians came and played. We had some readings. Evie, I don't know if you caught that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It was broadcast right here over KRFY, but there was a full house at the little theater to watch it as well. So, anyway, Jack, while you're digging up a bit of Sandpoint Sound, we should mention a couple other fundraisers that are going on. And Evie, are you involved in the Lions Club's Toys for Tot campaign?
Carolyn's working mostly on that. We had our office Christmas party yesterday, and we do a little Toys for Tots raffle where we all make our basket and we bring it to work, and then we all buy raffle tickets to kind of raffle on each other's baskets. Yeah. So that was one way.
So you raised a little bit of money for that. Yeah. And it looks like from the most recent thermometer here that the goal this year is to raise $75,000, and of course that's spent on toys and presents for families that can use a hand, and I think the last I saw it was nearly at half that, maybe around a little over $30,000 at this point.
I think it's kind of
so it's getting there, but it has a long ways to go. So if folks would like to contribute to the annual Toys for Tots campaign, check out the Bonner County Daily Bee. It's on the front page every day right now.
Yep.
As the Bee has been a great supporter of Toys for Tots over the years. I can testify for many years since I worked there in the 80s. So it was always a front page thing then. Another local group that has a big fundraising campaign right now is Bonner Homeless Transitions. And they have a campaign called Avenues for Hope. And we had them in to speak on Wednesday as well. And Bonner Homeless Transitions, you could go to their website at bonnerhomelesstransitions.org and see more about Avenues for Hope. Their fundraiser, some of their money is getting matched in different ways. And one of the things that happens if they have, I think it's 25 contributors, in any amount, tomorrow and Sunday, between Saturday and Sunday, that they will, that the amount that's donated will get matched. So if you would like to help support folks that have problems with housing, Bonner Homeless Transitions is having this fundraiser going on. You could check them out at bonnerhomelesstransitions.org.
I do have a Sandpoint sound, which I think it'll be a pretty good little clip, but I guess before we play that, should we ask Evie if there's anything else coming up and what you're going to be reporting on in the next week before we say goodbye or next couple weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know. Holiday season.
I think there's the school district has a long-term facility planning committee that's kind of coming together. They've met, I think, twice, maybe, so far. They're meeting again at Washington Elementary next week, and kind of, it's interesting timing with the flooding at the middle school, but I think they're kind of going to be going over some of that and what some solutions are to some of the age of the buildings. So that's something I might be writing about soon. And then just catching up on some of the meetings. I still have a few things to write about from, but yeah.
Did you guys see that, well, Bonner County anyway, made Vanity Fair? The West Bonner County School District was covered in a pretty pretty lengthy article.
Yeah, that's a national publication. Vanity Fair did a story about basically the more conservative people that are exerting themselves in the local elections and the school district over there.
It was an interesting piece. Always, it seems like we do make the national news from time to time, or national publications, but it's not always. We're not always painted in the most flattering light when we do, what we make the news for is not used to be like, you know, best place to retire or something like that.
Well, lately, we still get a bunch of that stuff. You're right. There's so many lists out there now, you know, we're still, I just saw something recently that some organization that does these surveys was saying Bonner County is one of the best places to retire. And there's another one. I think Outside Magazine had a list going that said this is one of the best mountain towns to buy a house in. And it's like, okay, we know that this is a really tough place to buy. But they came up with a couple, fairly remote places that were for like $238,000. I remember the price on one. That may not be a practical place for a working person to live because of it's out there and there's of course it's off the grid and there wasn't any running water, so it's a little more than a shack on some acreage, and that went for $238,000. And that maybe that's a deal in other mountain towns, but it's kind of a
Let's see. I will play this. It just occurred to me that, I mean, the next time we talk to Abby, there will probably be a brand new city council in place, I think.
When do they take office?
I believe the first meeting in January.
Okay.
I think they're sworn in, if I understand correctly.
Mm-hmm. And they meet on first and third Wednesdays, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the second. I think the second of January is the day of the swearing in this year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's that calendar only goes to the end of 2023.
Meeting is the last meeting with
The last meeting of 2023 with the current council and mayor, and then we'll see new people coming in.
They never nobody ever filled Andy Grote's seat, right?
It's just been empty, and then. Now it'll be filled.
Yeah. I think I'll play now just a little clip. This will be kind of the end of a Utah John original holiday song that he performed live for an audience at the Little Panda Theater. We broadcast it here on 88.5 KRFY, and you can hopefully then get a little flavor of what it was like to be there.
Yeah, and this will close us out for the... Our Friday North Idaho News of the Week.
Our third to last one, it looks like to me. Right? Yeah. For 2023. Okay. Here we go. Have a nice morning.
Doing fine. Can't get you off my mind. Miss you this Christmas. Miss you this Christmas. Miss you this Christmas.
Hey, thank you very much.